When 60% of Irish voters said yes to the same-sex marriage last year, the world really watched on with amazement that a Catholic nation brought in this result. It also refocused attention here in Australia, where views on whether to allow marriage for same-sex couples cuts across religious and party affiliations. The campaign here goes on. Marriage equality advocates took aim at Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull over the weekend. He sent a Valentine message publicly on his Facebook page to his wife Lucy, advocates urging the Prime Minister to extend to them the same marriage rights that he's enjoyed, so obviously and clearly enjoyed for such a long time. So Australia is due to have a plebiscite on this issue within months of this year's federal election. Federal Cabinet is yet to see the options for changes to the Marriage Act, though the Attorney-General, George Brandis, says they will go to Cabinet in the coming months. Ireland's experience stands out not only for religious reasons, but also because it has been the only country to legalise same-sex marriage by a popular vote. Tiernan Brady was the political editor of Ireland's Yes Equality campaign. He's in Australia talking to MPs and talking to advocates about that campaign and how it went, how it worked. He's in the Breakfast studio now. Tiernan, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks for having us, Fran.
Ireland changed the constitution through a referendum to allow same-sex marriage. Australia's plebiscite is simply an indicative of public opinion. It's not a binding constitutional change. We don't require that. What do you think Australia has to learn that was a key lesson to learn from, you know, the referendum and the Yes campaign you helped to run?
Well, I suppose the first thing, we don't have all the secret answers. Ireland hasn't a golden key, but I think what it does have is a few principles that were really important for how this happened. Sometimes, you know, it's really important to win this, but it's also really important how you win it. You know, this needs to be a national conversation where people have the space to change their mind. And I think that was the really important piece of learning from Ireland, you know, creating a tone where people, you know, weren't confronting each other on the issue, but rather were, you know, making as much space as possible for people to change their minds and make a journey.
Let's step back a bit, because that's one of the arguments from those advocating same-sex marriage. And it was an argument to a degree put forward by our Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, before he was Prime Minister, that having a plebiscite can leave space for quite, you know, a divisive, angry debate, that it doesn't help anything much, and it can be very harmful, particularly for perhaps some young, you know, gay Australians who might feel targeted or, you know, less than because of this. Was that not your experience in Ireland?
We worked very hard to try and make sure that it wouldn't be, because we knew it was going to be an issue. I think all the points you've raised are exactly right. Even in the positive campaign that did happen in Ireland, you've still seen that the number of phone calls to helplines, the number of people who were looking for counselling went up during the campaign, because it's very tough for people, you know, no matter what age you are, but especially younger people, to listen to a national conversation about, you know, whether you should be treated equally. You know, and I think a lot of people find that very hard. So I think as a campaign, one of the things we were very aware of was not just that we had to do everything we could to win, but we also had to do everything we could to be aware of the impact this was having on LGBT people across Ireland, and to make sure we were there to help them and provide supports right the way through the campaign.
And for that to work, both sides have to play ball. Both sides have to agree to engage in a respectful campaign. Now, at the moment, we have both sides, and I heard it again last night, both sides claiming they're being badgered by the other. Those who are anti-same-sex marriage say, you know, they're not homophobes, they're not haters, but that's how they're branded. Those on the other side say that those who are against same-sex marriage are making their children feel like they're missing out, like their families aren't worth as much, and that's very hurtful and very, you know, it's a real trigger. These arguments, I mean, both sides will put their arguments. They are hurtful in themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think how you say something matters. I mean, obviously, you know, people have to be allowed to have a discussion about this. But if we just allow it to get down into a culture war type event, then that's a negative experience for the country. You know, and we were determined we didn't want to do that. I think a year before the Irish referendum, we've seen France pass this, and it was a very divisive process where there were protests and riots on the street. And, you know, we made, you know, an awful lot of observations at that stage, and went, we do not want that to be the experience in Ireland. We want it to be a positive event so that, you know, the day after the vote, even if you were on the losing side, even if you didn't vote for change, that you could see that this might be a unifying moment for the country, and, you know, that we're not going to turn around and say, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, because that type of language doesn't work with anybody.
And I believe that your message to same-sex advocates is the key to that is to talk about the love.
Yeah, I mean, this is about real people. I mean, it's easy to talk about law and philosophy sometimes, but this is about people who we all know. They're in our families, you know, they live on our streets, they're in our workplaces. And I think trying to remind people of the person that's at the heart of this. You know, in a way, what we wanted to do in Ireland was move people from a place where they were thinking about what they were voting for to who they were voting for, and that the relationship that those people have, and shouldn't those relationships have the same dignity that's available to every other relationship? And I think, you know, I think we were successful in doing that.
How did you do that, Tina? How did you persuade people to stop thinking about what they were voting for, as in, oh no, I don't want marriage to change, to who they were voting for?
I think that we tried to put out as many real stories about real people, you know, people from every part of the country, because of course there are LGBT people in every part, from every political persuasion. But also we had a lot of role models in society who talked about how important their family was to them, whether they were lesbian or gay or straight. Parents who talked about how they wanted the same for all their children, you know. And I think, you know, bringing it back down to the human experience and all of those stories reminds people that what's at the heart of this issue.
You also, I think it was important in your view that there was bipartisanship, wasn't there?
Yeah.
On a yes vote,
yeah,
in this referendum. In this country, there's to a degree bipartisanship at the top, but it's not. But there's not. It's not bipartisan government opposition both saying vote yes. It's not that. Yeah. In your view, how much engagement should the politicians have in this debate?
I think they were very important as well. I mean, there's no doubt having supporters from every party is very important, because obviously, you know, this shouldn't be a partisan issue. We'd like it to be a non-party political issue. And of course, there are LGBT people who vote for every single party. So there should be people who in each party who stand up for them and are prepared to work to deliver equality for them. I think they were very important in Ireland. Obviously, the human stories and you know, the ordinary people knocking doors, talking to their families and phoning their grannies was at the heart of the campaign. But you know, political parties have a leadership role on this, and their supporters and their voters and their members look to them for the leadership role when it comes to major decisions like this. So I would hope that they will play a major role over the next 12 months.
It's 29 to 9. Our guest is Tiernan Brady. Tiernan was a key campaigner for the yes vote in the Irish referendum on same-sex marriage, which was successful, and really that why people were gobsmacked was that by that was because Ireland is such a Catholic country. Yeah. What role did the church play in the referendum, and what difference do you think it would make in Australia if church leaders get very engaged and play hardball against a yes vote?
Well, yeah, the hierarchy of the church definitely came out for a no in Ireland. Of course, Ireland's a very Catholic country, you know, the second highest weekly mass-going population in Europe, just after Poland. So, you know, they came out very strongly. But what was very interesting and was very important to us was we didn't want this to make this an anti-church campaign. You know, it's a false argument to say you have to choose between gay or God. We wanted to find as many role models from within the church, both lay people who were well-known Catholics, but also priests who would come out and explain why voting yes was a good idea. And what we've seen over the campaign, and again, I think the respectful tone created space where that was able to happen, was people like Mary McAleese, who's a former president, but she's a very well-known Catholic theologian as well, talking about how important this was. You know, parish priests from all over the country coming out and saying, it's okay to vote yes or no, but it's up to your conscience, and there isn't a wrong answer here.
Again, there are two sides, and it is felt deeply by both sides. Both sides want to win this, so both sides will be advocating their views. I'm not sure if you've spoken to anti-same-sex marriage advocates here or just pro-same-sex marriage advocates, but how's your message being received about leave room for respectful debate? Don't brand people bigots. Don't brand people haters.
I think it's one of those things that as you work through it and explain why that's the position we took, people really come on board to the idea. Because, you know, there's an obvious logic when you say out loud, try not to call someone a bigot, try not to label someone a homophobe, because you're all going to have to live in the same country the day after the vote. So the type of debate you have decides, you know, in no small measure, what the country will be like the day after.
And Tin, and just the calling the granny campaign, I mean, I imagine that's hard for a lot of people to call their granny and have that conversation, but did those conversations happen, and has that changed the community attitudes generally?
Oh, no, absolutely. It was so important that we got people to engage in that intergenerational conversation between family. Because, I mean, I think for people under the age of 45, you know, the vast, vast majority are for this. And then people that are older, you know, they grew up in a place where being lesbian or gay was invisible and attitudes towards it were very different. And, you know, it can be hard to change. So, I mean, I think it was really powerful for people within families to talk to older generations and older members of their family and explain why this mattered. And, of course, I think it was 10 times more effective than, you know, any national debate could have been on television prime time when your grandson picks up the phone and explains why, you know, his friend's a lesbian and he thinks it would be a good idea to vote yes for them.
Tin and Brady, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks so much for having us.
Tin and Brady, a key campaigner for the yes vote in the Irish referendum on same-sex marriage.